This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
That was too penal.
I'm all penal. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
Were you impressed with my cornholing?
It's all that practice with the thermometer. My amazing producers, our fearless leader, RJ Santillo.
Good job, me.
Oh, good job, you. How about the very handsome, very single ladies, Raymond Santiago.
Wine connoisseur.
Did I mention sophisticated? Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Did you know it's La Quinta?
I'm pretty sure we all did. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
Don't you talk about my Dave.
I'll say whatever I want about your Dave, Carol. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
Switch it up a bit, fatty.
Oh, I'll switch it up. Took the Yankees 11 innings, but they wrap up their series with the Diamondbacks with a win and head home 6-1 to start their season. Mets were postponed yet again. They'll play two today versus Detroit. First pitch is this afternoon at 12:10. Rangers and Devils treated us to a good old-fashioned line brawl.
Dave the killer!
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Knicks look to get back on track tonight. The Garden versus Sacramento. 7 games left. Knicks are a half game back of Orlando for the 4th seed and a game behind Cleveland for the 3rd. Stephon Diggs has a new home, and I'm really excited for him. And as always, on the Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation that did happen in Florida. A big-time station ID at 8. RJ's world-famous bleep you missed around 9:15, but before we get to all that, I figured since we have the Masters right around the corner, I'd see if any of the guys would like to take a trip down to Augusta with me.
Palmetto sandwich?
No, it's pimento sandwich. There's no such thing as a palmetto sandwich.
I mean, we could do a little edible or smoke a little boubange.
It's not that kind of trip.
My pants are all wet.
Oh, you're definitely not coming. How about you, RJ?
Now I'm going to stay in Oakland because I ain't got no stadium.
Well, you enjoy Oakland. Raymond?
Well, he
is. Here is.
Of course. Looks like I'm going by myself. Here he is, my very debaucherous best friend, the one and only David Rothenberg.
They just get better and better, these openings. They just get better and better.
No joke. Not even lying.
Yeah.
That was one page from the last 2 days.
That was only 2 days?
2 days.
Wow. That was very well done. Of all the drops you used, you know which is the one that actually made me chuckle the most?
Penal.
Nope.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what. It was not from this side of the room.
Oh, it's from that side.
Yep.
Wine connoisseur?
Yeah.
Wine connoisseur?
Connoisseur.
Connoisseur. Hey, by the way, kind of see you.
By the way,
yeah.
By the way,
Should I clap?
Round of applause. No, this is for you.
Oh, just, you know what? And
what
rightfully,
you did,
and rightfully
what
so.
You did yesterday.
Yep, that's
I
right.
pride myself on being the MVP of the big Wednesday meeting. Oh no! Oh no! 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 In the longest meeting in the history of this show's existence,
that's right.
A meeting that we had a verbal agreement. In the bathroom as we peed side by side.
Yes.
That no one would say a word.
Yep.
Because we wanted out as fast
in and
as
out.
Possible.
That's right. Let's
yep.
go.
Did not happen.
No.
Was that meeting an hour? No.
Pretty
that
much.
Meeting was like an hour and 15 minutes.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was. I got
no,
here.
It was not.
I got on the street at 11:15. On the street at 11:15.
Was it over an hour?
It was long. MVP of the meeting?
That's right. Who?
Dave Rothenberg.
That's right.
One of the funniest things ever said in a meeting.
That's right. It was genius level. I actually said two things. The first one wasn't all that funny. You guys walked into the meeting. RJ is keeled over. Keeled over. And then when I delivered my line of the day to win the meeting, I thought RJ was having a stroke. He was laughing so hard. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was not any win. That was...
It was a great line.
One of the great lines in the timing and how fast you said it.
Yeah.
The look on your face.
That's right.
I shook your hand afterwards.
And the delivery.
I was so proud of
you. Well, as you should be. It's like you birthed me and raised me, and I was on my way to college. You're like, all right, now you're ready. And I walk into college, and the fraternities are like, come on in. And all the professors are like, we see you as an A-plus student. And you're like, you know what? You can go on your own now.
It was a verbal sparring back and
That's
forth,
right.
and then boom, out of nowhere, ended it. one-punch knockout.
It was a good line. So, speaking of a one-punch knockout, we didn't have a one-punch knockout, but we did have some fisticuffs at the Garden last night.
Oh, we did.
Oh, yeah, we did.
More than fisticuffs. That was nice.
Now, the thing I like about it is these are the fighters, and these guys went up against
each
other.
Well, not necessarily. I don't think these are the fighters.
What do you mean?
You have two guys on the team that are the fighters. You have McDermott, and you have
Well, that's what I'm saying. But those were the fights.
It just so happens that, I mean, it was all five guys that fought, and the person that got most excited to fight was Jimmy Vesey, because he got to stay in the game because he was the first fight, and then everyone else. The problem with that, and I'm sure we'll take phone calls because I listened to it this morning, and people, I didn't turn on the TV to watch a line brawl. Well,
It's part of the game.
Well, here's the thing. You can't compare the NHL to every other sport because fighting is not legal in every other sport. And as much as they try to legislate fighting out of the NHL, they're never going to legislate fighting completely out of the NHL. They've already had, you don't have, the tough guys for each team kind of deciding before a game when they're going to fight. We're past, I think, that.
Right. Well, I felt like this was kind of predetermined.
This was different, though. Yeah. This was something that was brewing.
Well, this is retribution for what Rampy had done to the Devils a couple times.
Yeah. There was a score to be settled. And rather than let this thing play out where someone's going to do something stupid running around and one of your best players is going to end up getting hurt, let's get it out of our systems now. Right?
Yeah, let's go play hockey.
And let's play. The problem with what happened was you end up losing Trouba and Miller, who are, two of your three best defensemen.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So that.
That hurts, but Rangers found a way. You know what it ends up being, though, too? It ends up being, as we get closer to the playoffs here, there are going to be teams that try to take advantage of the Rangers.
If you have nothing to lose and you're going up against the Rangers who have everything to lose.
No, I'm even saying the playoffs. The Devils were on their last leg. The Devils needed to win that game.
Right, feels like they're done.
But they also had a score to settle. And rather than let it fester, I think part of it probably was, too, is that Peter Laviolette looks at what Rempe's done a couple times and said, I can understand why they're upset. Let's let them get their retribution. We did the same thing against the Penguins.
Right.
I got in that fight. Guys on my team didn't like how they reacted after I got knocked out. And then it was known before the game that we're going to fight.
It's almost like I don't even know what the right phraseology would be, but it's almost like you lay down the gauntlet. It's like, this is going to happen. We feel you've wronged us. And then the Rangers, out of respect for the game, are like, you know what? Let's go.
Absolutely right. You listen to Brendan Smith talking about it after the game. It's the NHL. It's hard to explain to anyone that hasn't played just hockey in general. The amount of respect, there were questions to, why is Rempe fighting so much? Or why did Matt Martin give him that opportunity? Well, because it's a respect thing. When Matt Martin came into the league, there was a certain way that he was going to get to keep his job, and some of that would include fighting. And he was able, because someone allowed him the opportunity to fight, now all of a sudden guys are like, wow, we need that guy because he's tough. He did the same thing for Rempe, trying to get his team going, Rempe trying to establish himself. The other thing I'll say to this is, like I mentioned earlier, as the Rangers get into the postseason here, and you're playing a team like Florida, and I tell you all the time, to win a championship, you have to have versatility in your game. If a team wants to play fast, you can play fast. Last year, what happened against the Devils was you couldn't contain their speed. They're beating you off the rush. You have to find, whatever way the team you're playing is trying to play, you have to have a counter for that. There are going to be teams that go after the Rangers, try to be hard on Panarin, try to be hard on Adam Fox. You have to have a level of toughness. And what that did for me last night was prove that this team is ready to take on that challenge. In a moment like that, where all five guys, and you saw them in the box afterwards, it was Keandre Miller laughing. They were on board to do what they did last night, and they actually enjoyed it. That's going to galvanize your team, because it's not easy to fight. And you want to know that you have guys in your team that are going to do whatever it is they need to do to win or protect you. And I'm telling you, man, a moment like that, they'll be talking about that game as a group. That's a memory you'll have for the rest of your life that you'll talk about it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's some kind of a bizarre bonding, right?
It's not bizarre.
It's weird that you're bonding over physical violence, though.
It doesn't matter, though. You spend so much time around your teammates, they become your family and your closest friends. So it would be the same in any walk of life. If you have a close friend that you feel like got wronged, and then, there's an opportunity. Now, it's different because fighting in the NHL is legal. Or if someone gets in your buddy's face, right, you want to protect your buddy. So the Devils wanted to get payback for what Rempe did.
Right.
And the guy's like, we're not going to make you do this on your own. We all want to be a part of this. And, again, all five fought. The Rempe fight was
feels
a battle.
In some way, it was very. It's very gentlemanly. Like Rempe wasn't playing the last couple games. He was a healthy scratch, and then the Rangers were like, you know, we're going to make him healthy, and then the Devils did the same with their guy, and now we dance. Now we go.
Well, I think the last thing you would want to have happen if you're Peter Laviolette, know going into the game that the Devils feel a certain way, and then...
Have them go after one of your guys.
Well, not only that, like, it just ends up being, okay, you know, before the game, Devils are like, you know, if they don't want to fight, then we're going to make them pay, and they're running around, you know, hitting guys, and then, God forbid, someone...
That's what I'm saying.
...steps over the line and someone gets hurt.
Adam Fox. I mean,
right, this way we... That's,
right. Here's your guy. If you want to go after him, go after him. They did. I didn't hear this. I bet you this is entertaining. Alex Faustin and Dave Maloney. Dave has to be excitable. Let's hear how it sounded right here on 98.7 ESPN.
And everybody is on their feet. The gloves are dropped. We've got a line brawl. Jimmy Vesey and it looks like Curtis Lazar at the center red line. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott drop the gloves outside the circle. Goodrow has picked up Kevin Ball. Jacob Trouba has picked up Chris Tierney. And back in the Rangers zone, you've got Keandre Miller and John Marino. The main event is just beyond the New Jersey blue line.
Oh, boy. Keandre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
And there are not enough stripes to get a hold of everybody.
I knew it. I hadn't heard him. I knew it. Keandre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
Yeah, and you saw Keandre Miller in the penalty box, as they're all sitting in the penalty box with a big smile on his face. In a weird way, this is going to sound crazy to say this, in a weird way, it's probably the safer alternative to have do it that way.
Then rather have just a fight spur of the moment in the game or a dirty play or something?
Or just, like a guy with the right intentions to go in and hit somebody. Like, I want to send the message physically, and then, God forbid... guy turns up the boards, gets it for like just something stupid like that to have happen. So let's avoid that. We know what they want. Let's give them what they want.
That's
and
right.
Then let's move on.
Here's your pound of flesh. If you can beat him up, go ahead. Felt like it was a pretty even fight and went on for a long time.
It did. That was a long fight.
I mean,
do you know how hard that is?
I can only imagine.
You feel like you're going to throw up.
I'm sure.
You know what the hardest part for this for me when we talk about stuff like this is to actually explain to you. Like the mindset of a guy like a Rempe or a McDermott or guys like that I played with. Like, I'll never forget, I played with, and they end up being like my closer friends, like Eric Goddard, who was one of the toughest guys I ever met in my entire life. Nicest guy, gentle giant. You put him on the ice and you watch him fight, you're like, whoa, like this guy is the toughest guy you've ever seen in your life. But there are certain guys, and you hear stories, like they're all buddies. And they knew going in, we're going to fight. And then after the game, still buddies.
I don't know how they do that. If that was me, and I had to fight some, like, I would build up the most bizarre hatred you've ever seen. And then if a guy smashed me, I would have like a voodoo doll at home with him and hate him.
No, here's the thing though. The guys that you hate are the guys that won't give you the opportunity. That like will run around like a Sean Avery, will run around and be dirty.
Well,
and
kind of the cowardly players.
Well, yeah, and then when you try to.
Then they don't want it.
They don't want it. But these guys, it's like, it's a badge.
Well, good for them. I think there's a lot of respect in the game. And I saw so many, even Winthrop in the group chat, oh, I don't like fighting. I don't turn it on for fighting. It was 2 minutes of fighting.
Well, here's what they got to understand, though, too. The NHL doesn't necessarily want to have fighting in the game.
Well,
but they recognize how entertaining it is for the people.
Well, not only that, you remember this, in your lifetime, the amount of fighting from 20 years ago to what it is now is greatly diminished. I mean, when I was just getting into hockey, and a lot of people, I'm sure some do, a lot don't. There was the team in Philadelphia, the Broad Street Bullies. They won cups based on being this physical, maniacal, fighting, dirty, over the top team, right? So now every team doesn't have multiple enforcers. You have like maybe
you
a
have
guy.
Guys that can play that are also tough,
right?
You have to be able to play,
right?
You can't be a liability. You're not going to waste the spot on a guy that can't go out there and actually play.
I got to tell you, so you get moved early on. Rangers, they take a 2-0 lead. I'm like, great. You know what? Then it's 2-1, 2-2, 3-2. I'm sitting there. I'm like, if they lose this game, I'm going to be livid. I would have been furious. And what a goal from Kako.
No,
think it was a great? I thought shot.
If I'm the goalie, not...
That's a bad goal from the goalie?
Not one that I would necessarily like to let in.
Okay. I thought it was a brilliant shot.
It ends up being a good shot. I mean, puck was kind of rolling there.
I thought the defenseman didn't have a stick. He was trying to, like, body
it. I actually thought how the whole play developed on the winning goal. Like, that's a pretty goal. Crowder going to the net, pass for a tip,
right.
Ends up scoring the game winner. But
Lafreniere's playing some good hockey,
Playing good hockey. That line in general, man. 5-on-5. It's one of, I mean, that might, you can make the argument that's the best 5-on-5 line in the NHL right now.
Well, production-wise. The big question, I guess it's a question, this is unfortunate, is Panarin, right? You clearly he's one of the top couple of players in the regular season in the game. What is he going to be in the postseason?
Well, yeah, because all eyes are going to be on him.
Right.
And, I mean, that's, that you say to yourself with the struggles of Mika's line 5-on-5, if we can, I mean, we slow that line down, right? You slow down that Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line, and we like our chances.
Six games left.
That's it.
I mean, let's get ready. Five-point lead in the division. And
for
now...
For all the people, too, that complain about this, we've done the studies. Like, during negotiations, we've done the studies.
Right.
Because the NHL doesn't necessarily want the fighting, but it always... The studies always come back that the people love the fighting.
Well, how popular is UFC?
Well, forget UFC, but it's... I mean, what baseball, which is... I mean, it's not necessarily always leading SportsCenter, right? Did it lead SportsCenter when Rougned Odor punched Jose Bautista in the face?
Oh, yeah, it did.
Of course it did. I mean, it kind of sucks that this is the, like, that would be the thing that
yeah,
you
but
would
that's
focus
what,
on, but.
But people are, I mean, people are not typically moved by the ordinary. You know, 62 home runs, that moves people. A brawl, which you don't see all the
Caitlin
time.
Clark.
Caitlin Clark. Like, you're moved by the unordinary or the violent or the physical. And listen, whether you like it or not, that's the truth. That's what. A lot of people are turned on by is some of the fighting. So I get it. I don't need it, but to have it every once in a while, I think is somewhat entertaining.
Right. It's a rarity, right? So you don't get a chance to see it much. So when you do get to see it,
right.
you're paying attention.
There are 2-3 fights a game at different stages every game. Like, you know what? I don't need this. But once in a while, I have zero issue
well,
with it.
Also when you have like real actual hatred.
Yeah,
like you
and,
get to see
and there
that.
Was retribution last
like
night,
how many
right?
People, how many people do we listen to that are so sick? Oh, the jersey swaps, guys shaking hands after
I hate that.
These guys, these two teams last night hated each other.
You know, but there's nothing cooler than hating a player, the opposition, opposing fans for seven games. Game seven ends, you shake hands at the end. That hockey gets so many things right. And I think people are finally starting to realize it.
Yeah, well, so I love the sport.
Well, I know why you love the sport. You played the sport at such a high level. From brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that big win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you expect the game to start that way, Peter Laviolette?
No. Our guys were reacting to what was happening on the ice. I thought they did a fantastic job, all five of them.
It was feisty right off the bat. Let's go.
He loved
go.
It. He
you
loved
could
it.
Tell. Everybody was certainly...
You love it unless someone gets hurt.
Right, nobody like, got hurt.
Someone breaks a hand or something.
All right.
Like Trouba or Miller break a hand. Like,
could you imagine that?
No. No, but like,
that would have been. Oh,
I'm telling
God.
You, man. Like, just being a part of, and I was part of something like that. Like, I got in that big fight against Pittsburgh, and then my teammates were upset with how they handled it. So they just that the entire the next time to a man, and I wasn't even a part of this because I was still dealing with a broken face. It was like, we're gonna get retribution, and that was the goal of that game. And I think to a certain degree, and I think you mentioned the word respect. The other team respected the fact that, you know, they're standing up for their guy, so we'll give them that opportunity. Now, not everyone loves it, and that was what surprised me the most about that fight. Like, Raymond was texting us. I was like, well, Rempe's going to fight. Like, we knew he was going to fight.
Well, I mean, he's in the lineup for a reason.
But the guys must have said to themselves, like, if he's going to do it, all right. Well, because VC goes right after his wing. Goudreau was like, okay, I got this guy.
Right.
And then
they paired off. They knew who they were going after.
And that was it.
Now, Ray, what are you saying? You said the Devils. I know the Devils wanted to fight, but Rempe was active for a reason.
Right, because McDermott was active.
Right. Right, so the Devils said, we want our guy to go, and the Rangers responded and saying, okay, our guy is also going to play, and now they can go at it.
You know what it was like, too? You know what it was like, though, too, is like the guys in the locker room have so much love and respect for someone like Rempe, knowing that he's going to be the one that protects them. So to have the opportunity now to kind of show their support, like,
right.
Hey, we know you have to
get
do
his
this,
back a little bit,
and we know how hard this is for you to have to do, then We're gonna jump into.
Now, Brendan Smith, not so happy with Rempe.
Well, it was weird because he kind of said a couple different things, but by the end of it.
I have Rempe needing to dial it back. Here's Brendan Smith.
I've seen other guys go down this route. One person to my knowledge when I played was Rafi Torres. And if you continue to hit people late, hit people high, your suspensions just continue to climb, and then you find yourself not playing. So I think he's got to dial it in a little bit, but he's a tough customer. I think he can play of what I've heard. I think there's a little bit of maturing for him, but obviously he's doing a good job.
All right, so it's nothing terrible about that.
No, I played with Rafi Torres, and Rafi Torres was, you want to talk about, I mean, a weapon. And he wasn't a fighter, but like just like a human missile, reverse hits, like he would destroy people. I think his point is, it's a good point. Like, and the kid needs to learn, like, you can't keep putting yourself in a position where you're going to hurt your team. Like, you can't.
And there was a few times where I was annoyed with Rempe because he took majors.
Well, now he's on everyone's radar. So anything he does that's remotely looked at as dirty, he's going to get suspended. It's going to cost him money.
And also, he's not the norm. You don't get 6'7" hockey players. So you get somebody
that can actually, but he can play, though.
Well, no, he can play.
But if he becomes a detriment to his team, or he starts missing time because he's suspended and someone takes his spot and is better, like is giving you more production
absolutely
than him, then he's not going to have a.
You think he's going to be active for the playoffs?
I think he will probably. I don't know how much time he'll spend playing in the playoffs, but.
But you think he'll be active?
It's nice to have that kind of deterrent.
Just in case. Let's go to a couple calls. Go to Tommy in Connecticut. Hey, good morning, Tom. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Richard.
What's going on, Thomas?
Before I get to the point I want to make about the Rangers, so I was in the car last night and I listened to the first period. Dave Maloney is an absolute treasure.
Yeah.
The way Alex Faust is doing this amazing job of explaining the line brawl. And he just jumps in and says, Miller is beating the daylight.
we just played it a minute ago. No, you know what? Because Dave... I'm sure that there are announcers that do their team's games that care, but I don't think anybody cares more than Dave. I mean, Dave was the captain of the Rangers. He's been a lifelong Ranger. He calls the games, and he genuinely cares about this team.
Absolutely, and he's just an absolute joy to listen to. But as far as last night's game actually went, I think the four people that scored for the Rangers are probably maybe the addition of Adam Fox. Those are the guys that are going to have to be themselves through the playoffs if they're going to make a run. You know, it's going to have to be Panarin. It's going to have to be Lafreniere growing up. Taco's got to play. And Chris Kreider's got to be Chris Kreider. He's got to set up in his office right in front of the goal and get those deflections.
But, Dave, I love you, and you call often, and you're a good caller.
Tom.
But
it's not Dave. It's Tom.
That's what I meant. Yep. I'm Dave.
Yep, you're Dave.
Right. Is it? Can you say that about any team?
Yeah,
that their players.
Well,
need
yeah,
to
but
play?
I think you haven't seen it from Panarin yet in the postseason. And like, I mean, I think that the frustrating part for me sometimes with Kreider is that he's so big and he's so fast
that you think there could be more in there that you
well,
don't get
no,
out
but
of
like
him.
He's the kind of guy like we say this about a Matthew Tkachuk, for example, right? Matthew Tkachuk drags his team into the fight. He has the ability to do that. Like he can. I mean. he can be physical. Like, there's so many things that Chris Kreider can do, and they're going to need him to do those things. Because you know teams are going to purposely be as hard and as physical as possible on Panarin and on Fox. We're going to get pucks behind the goal line, and every chance you get to wear Adam Fox down, you wear him down.
Right, absolutely. You want, every time you get them deep in their zone, you hammer him, you hammer him.
Here's a great story. So I've been lucky, right? So one of the, you know, I think, in my opinion, best things about being drafted by the New York Islanders was having the opportunity to be around Bobby Nystrom, Clark Gillies, Billy Smith, Butchie Goring. Billy Smith was my goalie coach, but to sit with those guys and actually hear the stories, like you, it could be hours, like a sponge, and you just listen to these stories. Bobby Nystrom will tell you the turning point when they actually became the dynastic New York Islanders was they were in Boston. Him and Gillies.
It's going to be Gillies.
Him and Gillies were roommates.
Right.
And the news came on. And they spent the entire time talking about how soft the Islanders were. And that's why Boston was going to beat them, because they were soft. Everyone in the league thought they were soft. Nye ends up breaking the TV because he's so pissed off. And he looked at Clark Gillies and goes, this is what's going to happen. You're going to fight him. I'm going to fight him. He's going to fight him. He's going to fight him, because we're going to prove to him how tough we are. And that's what they did. And it was, he said it was in that moment that they all came together as a team. And that was it was a big step for them.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm confused at how anybody ever thought that team was soft. And someone is calling me now.
It's a weird number, too.
Well, but it's 6:30 in
answer
the morning.
Answer it.
No.
I'll answer it.
No.
Give it to me. I'll answer
no.
it.
No.
I want to answer it.
No, I don't. It's my phone. I don't want
it's
you to answer
be,
it.
It's got to be like a telemarketer
but
or something.
Typically, telemarketers don't call at this hour.
Answer it.
No.
Why? I'm interested.
You want to know who it is?
Yeah. Say hello.
Fine.
Hang on a second. I'm going to hang on.
Hello?
Get off my
hello?
Phone.
They hung up. You waited too long.
No.
Get off
no,
my
maybe
phone.
Not. Hello?
If it took this long, it's...
Yeah, no,
my phone's ringing, and it's the camera.
Oh, some kind of an automatic message.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you got to answer those sometimes. But at 6:30, you got to answer that though. Like it could be serious. You don't know who that is.
Well, I know it wasn't anyone that I know. It was someone I knew. If Sherry was calling right now, I would have said, guys, I
maybe
need...
it was the parking garage.
How would they have my number?
I don't know.
How in the world would the parking garage have my number?
Place. I don't know.
They go through my place.
They went through your stuff.
Do you have this? Every time I leave the parking garage, I'm terrified that I have taken my fob with me and that I have now caused chaos in the entire parking lot.
I did that the other day. I got yelled at.
You walked out with it?
Well, because they let me park my own car, and then I took my key. He's like, you can take your key. So I took my key, and then I guess they had to move my car, but couldn't because they had no key.
Oh, you know what it was? Okay, so I got it for you.
Now, what is it?
My kid's school is delayed because there's downed trees all over town.
Important.
So there you go.
Why don't you put that number in your phone as your kid's school, though?
Well, I don't know.
Why don't you save that one so you know when it pops up?
Now I
school.
Know. They just sent a text following the call. So my kids get to sleep in that today. Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Not us.
No, no. No, no, never.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Where'd you get that Rangers sweatshirt? You get it at the Garden, Ray?
No.
No?
Actually.
Did you get it with a Fanatics gift card?
That's right.
You
That's
see?
Right.
Well done.
Did you have money left over?
I tried to spend as much of the card as possible, so this was actually close to what the card was
really
worth. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Now I don't know that you ever look down on the gift, but now do you look at that as quite a gift?
It's quite the gift.
Yeah.
This is very comfortable.
That's it's a beautiful sweatshirt.
It wasn't necessarily the gift.
What do you mean?
It was you could have had the gift ready.
What do you mean?
It was like 2 days late.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he received it until like the day after his birthday.
Well, it was sent on his birthday.
It ended up in the spam folder for
some
reason.
And it went into a spam folder.
But, I mean, there's no reason to wait. His birthday didn't sneak up on you.
No, but I didn't want to send it before his birthday.
Why?
Because I didn't want to.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me. Why would I send a present a day before someone's birthday?
Well, like it matters when. I mean, if it's before, as long as it's not after.
But here's the thing.
What? Tell me.
You're just looking to give me a hard time. The fact I sent the present on his birthday, it went into his spam, and he didn't see it until either late on his birthday or the next day is not my fault, nor is it his. And I don't.
But I think it's something we could have avoided. Like RJ had his present ready to go. My present,
and I
ready
also
to
had
go.
My present. I knew what I was doing, put it into practice, and it just didn't arrive into his actual hands till the day after. Ray, do you look at that as something that I did and neglectful?
No, not at all. You did well. I appreciate it. And as you could see, I appreciate the gift.
It's a beautiful sweatshirt.
It's a beautiful
wearing.
Sweatshirt. Not much thought went into the gift, is all I'm saying.
And it keeps me very warm in this.
He's warm.
But what you did
frigid
is,
studio.
Let's really dig in, you know, to what
you
did.
I'll tell you what.
You woke up one morning.
No,
I think
not
it was the
true.
Day of his birthday. And you said to Sherry,
nope.
Could you get Raymond a Fanatics gift card?
Nope. We discussed it for days in advance. And I said, do you think this is nice? She goes, well, will he want something from there? I said, he probably wants something Cowboys related. I won't buy him a Cowboys thing so he can get this for himself there. She's like, yeah, that's great. What do you want to spend? How much do you want to give him? I thought it was a generous number we gave him. And then the day of, it was sent to
Listen,
him.
Listen, anything is generous, first of all. So I can't say it enough. I appreciate it. And it all worked out. So
do you feel a way that Rick is acting like this?
No, I don't feel a way. I understand where Rick is coming from.
How do you understand where he's coming from? It's not nice what he's doing to me.
It is kind of not nice. You've got a point there. But like I said, I've got no complaints about how you handled it. It worked out for me.
Right.
It worked out well.
So,
and I'm appreciative.
It would be weird if you did have a complaint, wouldn't it? If you're like, listen, this is not the gift I wanted.
Well, at least now we know we actually got something.
I'd be a jerk if I did.
That's why I hand-delivered it, so I knew he got it. Because sometimes, occasionally, we give him stuff. You don't really know he got it.
Right.
Till you text him.
Listen, there's a lot going on.
Did you get what I sent you? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did.
A couple days ago.
That'll work.
I'm trying to be better about it, okay?
You're doing great.
You're the best.
You're doing great. And you look like $1 million. Although, I will tell you this, and I don't think I ever say this to any of you guys. We're sitting in that meeting yesterday, and I turned to Ray. I said, Ray, you look exhausted.
I've been working for 2 weeks straight.
I know.
No break.
Eyes were red. They were almost not open. I was like, this man needs to go home and nap immediately. He was exhausted.
If we actually knew what we were doing around here, since we have all these just because no one, I mean, God forbid anyone comes into the office anyway, we have so many empty offices, that would be turned into a sleeping,
a nap room?
Well, it's like a sleeping area for Raymond.
How great would that be?
It'd be great.
Could you imagine that, Ray, if we set up like a little B&B where you could go in there?
At some point, it may be necessary. Got to tell you.
How nice that would be.
It would be great.
I don't know how realistic it is in the future, though.
But all we have is unused offices here.
That's it.
Feels like there's nobody in the office. You know what I walked by yesterday? The Andrew Gunling cubicle.
I didn't see that.
Why can't we turn that into...
I don't want to sleep in a cubicle.
My point is that we have areas that for people that haven't been here in a year. There's got to be somewhere we can set you up with a decent mattress and a bed that you can curl in and get a couple hours shut-eye when you need.
Nice and dark and quiet.
Right. Quiet. Maybe get they'll have like a real thermostat in there so you can actually turn the air.
Not a for show thermostat?
Not a for show one.
Imagine that, a thermostat that works.
Yeah, right.
That would be nice.
I was watching some video on North Dakota's hockey team, and they got an unbelievable rink. You should see their facility, dude. They have a nap room, they have a massage chair room, they have a high altitude room that they train in.
What is that to make so when you're in regular altitude, it's easier for
right.
you?
Uh-huh. So it increases your red blood cells. So you come out, like you go do sprints, and then you come out, and then you readjust, and you go back in.
You know, a lot of these. Like really progressive companies, like big successful companies have nap rooms because they're like, you know what? If my employee gets tired, rather than fight through and be 50% productive, go take a 30-minute nap, come back, and now you're rejuvenated, ready to go.
Yeah, right. You want to cut lunch a little short? You know, take a nap?
Right.
Take a nap.
How great would that be?
Oh, I might take one at like 7:15-ish.
I was thinking about something in the 8 o'clock hour.
Okay.
You think it, RJ!
Yes, Steve.
You weren't even remotely prepared for me to call on you there.
You took a left turn.
Would you be in favor of a nap room?
I would, of course, be in favor. I think it would make
Ray's life easier.
Your life easier?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's times we get all our work done nice and early. Maybe we all take a team nap, like Rick.
Like, I don't think I'd want to like get it like summer camp. Like
you
get
call
into
that
a
meeting? I call it kind of a nap.
Room. He's fast asleep with his mouth open during the meeting yesterday. Did you see that? Mouth agape.
Yeah, but that's like his signal. If he's like the third base coach, he's giving the signal to all of us. Time to wrap up the meeting.
RJ, how good was I in the meeting?
That's your best ever.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets better.
Was it namaste level?
It may have been better. Because you had a multifaceted meeting.
Hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of those things.
That was years ago.
Yeah, one of those things.
One of those things was involved.
Very pertinent. Yep. I mean, you kind of had a two-part meeting. You sandwiched it.
Well, think about what I did with RJ.
Well, I mean,
you walked into the meeting, he's in hysterics. You walk out of the meeting, he's in hysterics.
Yeah, and none of which we can even remotely come close
nope.
to talking about.
No.
But no one will ever know. That's the sad part.
The namaste, which I'm very proud of, was a nice moment. You bookended. Like, you stole the show at the beginning.
But here's the thing and the concern.
And you had the hammer at the end.
Yeah, but it was almost like he learned. Like, he's been sitting here and just taking in everything that's gone on.
Well, people with,
over the last couple years,
with my affliction,
right, with your
typically which, learn slowly, and then at some point,
which usually on a Thursday does flare up.
It does flare. my concern is, I'll never be that great again. I don't think I'll ever be able to bring to the table what I brought yesterday. Why have another meeting then?
You know,
it was almost like RJ's namaste.
Yeah,
and how quick that was.
It was so good.
Was married to kind of like my sick sense of humor. And you formed what was maybe the greatest achievement of your life.
By the way, Tommy in Connecticut yep. has changed his Twitter handle to Dave in Connecticut. Cousin Lonnie says, Santi got your gift within 24 hours of his birthday. RJ and Ange had to wait months for their wedding gift from Peter.
Yeah, well, no one's comparing that, though.
Right.
That's ridiculous. And then I sent it to the venue.
Did he send it to the venue thinking you live there? Did he send it to the venue thinking that was actually your home address? Or did he intentionally say, okay, let me send my present to the venue?
I would like to think it was done purely accidental.
Okay.
But, I mean, what do you think? It was like a time-killing effort? Like
maybe he didn't have the money readily available.
I don't think so.
And he said 50 jobs.
It's
not like he hasn't been married before. Like, he knows.
Right, but he's probably paying like an alimony. And what?
No, I don't think that was the issue at all. I think
maybe he didn't have the money available. He's like, listen, if I can buy myself time, if I send it to the venue, he's not going to get this for months. No. It's going to get lost in the mail, lost in translation.
I don't think he even sent it to the venue.
You think he lied about the venue?
Yeah, I think he forgot, and then he didn't send it, so he made up a story that he was going to... No one sends a wedding gift to the venue.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Well,
like
how long is the longest time that elapsed for either of you for someone to send you a wedding gift post wedding?
I think I had wedding gifts before the actual wedding because he was one on the registry, and then
maybe a month, but I don't even know that it was that long. Yeah, I don't even know that it was that long either, but certainly not. No one had to get in touch with me and say, listen, we accidentally sent the present to the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent it to where your honeymoon was.
Yeah.
Well, why would you do that?
See, if RJ wasn't such a nice guy, this could have turned into a real issue.
I think it was probably a little statement like, this is what you get for leaving our show.
Oh, really?
I'm going to make you wait for the wedding gift.
What a fun wedding that was, too.
Oh, it was great. You had the best of everything. I mean, that's one of the... That is one
beautiful.
Of,
I remember the weather being beautiful.
Weather was beautiful.
I remember the nuptials were great. You were terrific.
They both looked amazing. And then I'm telling you what, I've been to a lot of weddings. The cocktail hour with the food setup.
Yep.
One of the best I've ever been to.
Was excellent. You know, all my friends were there, so I greatly enjoyed that. And then I had a man come out of the kitchen and bring me back into the kitchen to watch football.
Yeah, the guy, he brought me like a special bottle of wine. It was great.
It was really, really nice. RJ, get married again.
Ideally not.
Renew your vows.
That's it.
All right.
Not with a different woman. Same woman, renew the vows.
Right. Another like, bachelor party.
Thing. You would marry her again, right?
Of course.
Okay, so you know what? Let's do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You want to do another bachelor party?
Yes.
I wasn't at your original bachelor party.
You were invited. You declined.
It was away, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, New Orleans.
It was away. No, it was in...
we played a home game.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, mine was in New York City.
Well, it's lazy.
How is it lazy?
It's lazy.
Because I don't have these highfalutin friends.
No,
where do you want to hobnob to?
Well, why didn't you go? You could have went to like Atlantic City or something.
We almost did late, right. But we went to the Mets game in the afternoon.
That's nice.
Then we went out to a nice dinner. Then there was a hotel room rented, and some stuff happened there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what kind of stuff?
Strippers. you know, that kind of stuff.
And are
then
you
a lot of alcohol involved. And then my buddy says at like 4 in the morning, completely hammered, goes, now we go to Atlantic
yes,
City.
Yes, those are my ladies.
I was like, yes. And I was like, no.
Let's be honest, though. Do you really have friends if you don't have one of those in your group? I have one of those.
Yeah. And if I would have told you of all my friends that are at the bachelor party, this is the one that would say, like, it was clear that's you the one know. That would say that. Yeah. Yes. That's my same friend that was imprisoned who called me from jail and said, I need you to bail me out. And I said, it's noon on a Sunday.
No.
That, how could you possibly think I can do that?
Yeah, see, my buddy like that, Pete, he didn't even pick up the phone to call. He actually asked when they were going to release him, can I sleep for a couple more hours?
That's even worse.
I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I'm pretty tired.
He was that tired. For the ones who get it done, Grainger, they offer high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say
hello!
All right, let's get to the Yankees, and we'll get to the Knicks, and then, of course, we've got to get to the Jets, addition by subtraction. To me, I thought that was a really entertaining Yankees game yesterday. You're a Yankees fan. You go 6-1 on this road trip, and you didn't beat the dregs of baseball, right? You beat arguably the best team in the American League and the National League representative last year for the World Series. You go 6-1, and we talked about it off the air here. Rodon was good. Judge now has turned it on
a
little
going.
Bit.
Yep.
So
Verdugo.
The bullpen is absolutely, seemingly elite. You're a Yankees fan today. You're walking down the street with like $1 million right now.
Right. Well, you said it, though. I mean, just how important, especially that first series. I mean, this is the team that you despise. Right.
Correct.
It's not the Red Sox anymore. Like, I think you ask most Yankees fans, they can't stand Houston. It's the team that always ends up in the American League Championship Series. Right. As much as we want to pretend like, oh, the playoffs are a crapshoot. Well, not for Houston. It hasn't been. And, you know, you have a couple key additions. Let's see how this looks against what a lot of people think is the best team in the American League, and you sweep them. You couldn't ask for more from Juan Soto.
Right.
And then a game, you know, in a series against the team that was in the World Series last year, you come out, and in a game, especially last night, or yesterday afternoon, where Juan Soto, I mean, was not happy with the home plate ump, the strike zone.
Well, he was bad for the entirety of the game.
Right. And, I mean, did not have a big game. But like you said, they found ways to win without Judge going, without Rizzo going, without Verdugo going, without Stanton going. And yesterday afternoon, Judge, big home run, big double. Verdugo, huge home run in the 10th. And you could tell how, like, what a relief that was for him. And you said it too, the bullpen, man.
It's special.
Hamilton was great.
Hamilton is awesome. Ferguson came in and did his job. I'll tell you what, and this is weird. Of all the guys in that pen, the one I might have the most, like, hesitancy about is Clay Holmes.
Yep.
Like, I mean, Loaizaga is wonderful.
Should have been out of that inning, though.
Of course. It wasn't his fault that the game got tied. But I'm just saying, like, he's been in, what, 4 games, and 3 of them have gotten, like, you are, and the Yankees bullpen is great, you are hardly in the days of Mariano Rivera.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, he's got, listen, his stuff is right, his stuff is nasty.
Oh, I agree with that. But like,
there are times where he has no idea where it's going.
He's good, but the bullpen is so good that I think he might be the weak link. But let me ask you this. Of the 7 games they've played, like, where's your concern lie now? Rodon was really good. I mean, you know Judge is going to hit. Volpe's already hitting. Gleyber had a big hit yesterday. Soto's a non-concern. Like, your bullpen is terrific. Stroman looked good. Like, you're 7 games in, and I know it's a long season and injuries happen and everything can change, and I don't deny that. But if you're finding things to be concerned about or worried about or upset about, I think you're really nitpicking right now on this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there are a couple things going into this, you know, the last game of the series that you'd like to see have happen. I think a bunch of those things happen. Like, Judge has to get going. Like, the longer Judge struggled, the more people, and I'm promising you, the more phone calls we would have started to take, you know, is something going on with Aaron Judge? Right after dealing with what he dealt with in spring training, having the MRI on his abdomen, talking about dealing with the big toe, it's something he's going to have to continue to manage.
Right.
And he gets off to a slow start, people would start asking questions. But I think it's just, you know, not having a... you know, having that kind of that interruption to his spring training probably wasn't, I mean, not probably, wasn't great for him, but he seems like he's got it going on.
Well, he certainly was good yesterday.
By the way, too, big shout out to the Yankees. I mean, that fifth inning where they came out and then all of a sudden, before you knew it, they pick off Corbin Carroll. Like, that was something, they clearly something that they...
That studied and they knew.
That they talked about.
Yeah.
So good on them for that, too. And then, I mean, Clay Holmes, I understand what you're saying because you're not wrong. And he does, I mean, he does have a tendency sometimes to lose the strike zone. But yesterday, they should be out of that inning.
No, no, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying he wasn't bad yesterday. All I'm saying is, of all the pieces of the bullpen, he might be the one that gives me the most, like, hesitation. Like, I feel... As someone that roots against the Yankees when it's Hamilton, I'm like, oh, God, this guy's tough. Or Birdie is really good. Ferguson, good. Loaisiga, good. When Holmes comes in, I'm like, all right, yeah, you can get to Holmes. Yeah. Like, I feel like the Kings can get to Holmes.
All right. Well, I mean, that's...
Then maybe I'm wrong. We'll see.
Well, we'll see. And, I mean, that could be something that ends up being a problem. But for right now, I mean, the bullpen has been really good.
Stanton was benched yesterday. That's nice to see. You mentioned Grisham getting some time in the outfield, and he did yesterday.
I think the stuff that you worry about, though, with this team is, I mean, you would probably point to Nestor, right? First inning, he's got to figure that out.
Outside of Nestor, I mean, what else is there to really complain about if you're the Yankees?
Right now, at the moment, no, nothing. There's nothing. You're 6-1, headed home, day off today, and you're home opening tomorrow.
Right. Stroman on the mound, that's what he wanted.
Exactly what
Weather's supposed to be okay.
See, the thing with Stroman is you don't worry about now.
No. Second half of the season. Yeah, but that's the thing with... Because at some point, you're going to get injuries. Like, Birdie's great. He gets hurt. That's what happens, right? Like, so, is the bullpen going to stay intact? Is the lineup going to stay intact? If they were to stay intact...
Are the starters going to be enough length?
Right.
You don't want
to wear down the bullpen, right. Too. Like, but right now, as we sit here on April the 4th, I think you're nitpicking if you're really having concerns about the Yankees at the moment.
No, you just went on the road. I mean...
They won 6-7
against two good teams, really good teams.
Upper echelon teams.
Yeah, and you saw why everyone was so excited for Juan Soto, right? I mean, that's one of the things that we spent the entire offseason talking about, how big that move was and what he would do and what he would do for the lineup, just his approach and everything else. And you were just hoping that some of the, you know, because I mean, it was pretty much, it was Soto, it was Volpe, and it was Cabrera. And like, when were the rest of the guys starting to wake up?
And Judge starts to wake up. You know what else I noticed watching these games so closely? Volpe is an awesome defender. And a phenomenal defensive player.
Yeah, well, you want to go glove.
I know. And he's fast, too.
He makes the plays look way easier. Like the ones in the short outfield look way easier than those plays actually are.
Yeah. No, he's a really, really special player. Here's Aaron Boone on the series win against the Diamondbacks.
I mean, what a great kind of gritty win today. Both starters pitched well. Kelly and Rodo were really good, and the bullpens were tough. But just, I thought, first of all, really good at-bats there by GT, setting us up again in that second run. Obviously, Doogie with a big swing in the first go-around. Clay was outstanding. You know, we didn't make a play behind him, but we just keep playing. You know, that's part of it. That's going to happen. And then, you know, Fergie coming in, finishing off. It was a fun, exciting way to end the road trip.
How about that, though? You know, tying run in scoring position, winning run in scoring position, man on first, no margin for error, and you go up against the opposing pitcher who hasn't batted in like 5 years.
Well, they already known that, too. Do we have the clip? He actually said he was going to walk. He would have walked the one run in to make sure that they would face the pitcher.
If they were up by two.
Well, no, he had that run not scored.
Right. If they were up by two, he would have walked,
they would have walked in the run.
Like the Barry Bonds treatment.
To face the pitcher.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, why would you not?
Well, if you're the Diamondbacks, don't you recognize that, though?
Clearly not. They misplayed their hand.
I guess.
Could you imagine if that was Aaron Boone that made that mistake? We would be taking four hours of calls about, fire this guy now. You can't make that kind of mistake.
No, but that's why I think it's important, like that play in the fifth inning, like bring stuff like that up.
Right. No, when they deserve credit, we got to give them credit. I mean, I don't know that it's as embarrassing as Mickey Callaway handing in the wrong lineup card, but not a great moment.
That's probably the most embarrassing.
Unbelievable. All right, let's break. We'll come back. More Yankees, 1-800-919-3776. Knicks and Jets as well. Oh, and then we have little observations. Did it happen in Florida? And we got to get an update on the poll that was put up yesterday morning as well. It's DNR with you on 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.